Welcome to the Laura Mayer Podcast, a podcast all about learning to walk in the mental, emotional, and relational freedom that Jesus provided for you. I'm so glad you joined me today. Today's podcast is going to be a little different than I've ever done before. I was recently invited to be on the Fearless You podcast by Elizabeth Chumbly, and we just had a phenomenal time. We discussed the topic of rejection and four different possible routes to rejection and that feeling of rejection in our lives. And it was just such a awesome, deep, rich conversation. It was one that I wanted to share here with my listeners, so it would be easy for you guys to go back and pull up this episode if you wanted to. Now, I also shared the link, and I'm going to share it in the show notes, of Elizabeth's podcast. This may be another one you guys want to follow, the Fearless You podcast. Elizabeth also has a passion to teach women to walk in the freedom of knowing their identity in Christ. So I'm going to attach her, all of her links, all the places you can find her in the show notes. And I hope that you do reach out and connect with her. But I'm about to edit in the podcast conversation. So it might sound a little different because remember, I was a guest on her show. So she's going to be the one asking me the questions. But I'm just so glad you're here. And I hope that you find freedom listening to this episode. All right, welcome to the Fearless You podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Chumbly, and I'm so excited about our guest today here on the Fearless You podcast. We've known each other close to around 13 years. I think that that's what we have figured out.
That's a long time. Yes.
Long 13 time. 13 years. And I've had the privilege and opportunity to watch her grow into a bold, passionate woman of God. She is a wife, mom, podcast host, speaker, and advocate in the nonprofit world, and her passion is teaching women biblical, life-changing truths concerning their identity in Christ and helping them find lasting freedom for their mind and emotions. And I am so excited. Let me introduce you to Laura Mayer.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for having me on the show. I have looked forward to this ever since we started sort of chatting in the parking lot of Dollar General.
Yes.
A year or so ago.
For like 2 hours. Yes. We were chatting about God.
Yes, we were. And I don't think you'd started the podcast yet.
I had not.
I had started mine, and we kind of chatted like, hey, we should do this together. We should have a conversation, record it, because I think even our conversation in the DG parking lot that day would have been beneficial for other people to get to listen to.
Absolutely.
Because we're both people who do life from a place of hanging on to the hem of his garment.
Absolutely.
And locking into what he says about us, which has really gone against a lot of other messages we've received in our lives.
Absolutely. We've been told this is what you are.
Yeah.
And God has changed that and said, no,
yeah,
this is who you are. You are my daughter. Walk in that.
And we've both been told what you have does not hold value.
Right.
And you just need to shut up, sit down, be quiet. And God had a better story.
Yes, he did. He sure did.
And I think both of us, I think there's a connection, a kindredness about us, because I think we both love taking back what the enemy stole.
Absolutely.
And then using that to help other women be free. So let's do it.
Let's do it. So on today's podcast, we're going to be talking about rejection, which is something that many of us women have experienced in our walk. Or it's something that we're experiencing right now. And so I hope after everyone listens to this podcast today that you see yourself in a new light. You see yourself how God sees you, honestly.
Yes.
What inspired this topic today is a sweet sister of mine. She came to me one time and she was talking about how she didn't get invited to all the things and just how awful that made her feel, that she didn't feel included.
Yeah.
And it made her feel left out and rejected. Rejection is a place of seclusion, feeling left out. And it really does make you feel as if you're not wanted and not loved. And so, Laura, I want you to talk about this topic because you know this so well.
Yes. You know, I think that's a lie that the enemy uses with a lot of us women. And I think a lot of it is rooted in because women, I think our number one question is, am I lovable?
Right. And who could love me?
Who could love me?
Yeah.
It's our number one need. And if you hear that and maybe you don't feel like that's true, I think we're all a little different. You know, there's not a cookie cutter standard woman, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's some self-protection there where you hear that and go, I don't care if I'm loved. you know, I would challenge you to just evaluate and go, well, maybe that's a defense mechanism because you have felt so unloved for so long. Then we talk ourselves out of needing what we need.
Right.
We try to convince ourselves that, well, I just don't need it. I'll just go on with life without being loved since it's not been available to me. But you're wired for love. You're wired for connection.
Yes.
You're made in the image of your Heavenly Father, and God is love.
Yes,
so it's in our makeup to want to be loved. And so, of course, the enemy tries to send messages constantly and arrows constantly to say the opposite of what's true and to say, see, this is more proof that you're not loved.
Yeah.
And one of the ways he does that is through rejection.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you've got a few points that you want to go over today about rejection. Do you want to share those with us?
Yes. So as I was kind of staying in prayer and keeping my heart in a posture of just openness about this episode, because we didn't know originally what we were going to talk about. And then you emailed or texted me and said, hey, I think we're supposed to talk about rejection. And I just lit up on the inside. It was like, yes, that is what we're going to talk about. So I just kept my heart open of what the Lord would maybe want to share in this space. And he helped me see that there's four possible routes to rejection. So I think what's important to note here, if you're sensing rejection coming up in your heart, a lot of times our first instinct is to say, well, what's wrong with me?
Right.
If I'm feeling this rejection, what did I do wrong and what can I change about me? But I would encourage you to kind of hit the pause button on that and just have an open heart. As I discuss these four different things, now this is not an exhaustive list,
right,
but the Holy Spirit sure can speak to you and tell you where that's rooted, because I've learned in my own life where there's fruit, there's a root. So if there's
that's
this
good.
Fruit, yes, it's so true. Yeah. If there's fruit of the Spirit in your life, love, joy, peace, patience, all those things, it shows that you're rooted in Christ.
Right.
And then that's the fruit you're producing. But then if there's spaces in your life where there's jealousy being produced, or there's this fear of loss and this rejection being produced, take heart, because that means there's a root to that as well.
Right.
And let the Lord explore that in you. You explore that with him and say, Lord, where's that rooted? If there's a fruit being produced that I don't like, it's stinky fruit. It's toxic fruit. It's fruit that's hurting me.
Yes.
Show me where the root is. God, I've learned in my life that God is always interested in helping us get to the root of a problem. Just like when you're weeding your flower bed, it's not enough just to break it off at the surface. It will come back.
It will grow back. You've got to pull it from the root.
And it's because he loves you so much that
right.
he says, daughter, let's get to the root, because I don't want to see you going in the cycle anymore. So
yes,
the first root that he started talking to me about is the sense of rejection is rooted in the fear of losing relationship. Relationship is something we crave.
It is.
We're wired for connection. Humans are, but then I think especially we as women really reflect that nature of God in a unique way. We're highly relational people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the fear of losing relationship. And sometimes it's perceived fear. Sometimes it's not even actually real. I say a joke that sometimes, like, if you were to walk into a room and everybody's been having a conversation, and the moment you walk in, they all get quiet.
That's so uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfortable. So like fear would say they were talking about you.
Right.
And not just were they talking about you, they were talking negative about you.
Right.
We don't fear that they were talking positive. It's not just the fact we were being discussed. Fear always points to, like, to the worst case scenario, what could be wrong.
Yes.
And if you've been in a habit of thinking that way in your life, when people get silent, the devil's going to say, see, that's proof.
Right.
That's proof that you don't have a relationship with these people. It's proof they don't like you, proof they didn't really want you here to begin with, proof you weren't invited. So I do a funny little exercise with myself now. And if that ever happens, I on purpose tell myself they were planning my surprise birthday party.
That's really great.
Because I've learned that what other people think about me is none of my business.
That is so true. When you get to the point with Christ to where you know who you are, your identity is in him.
Yeah.
You know what he says about you. You get to that point where what they think of you is none of your business. It doesn't matter.
And it doesn't even bother you.
Actually,
you don't even spend any brain space thinking about it.
Right. You're like, oh, I'm a child of God. God says I'm beautiful. God says I am worthy.
Yeah.
Yes.
So even if they were talking negative, it doesn't change who you are.
Exactly.
And if they weren't, maybe actually the conversation truly was just over and the timing worked out that you walked in at the moment that they were done talking about the thing.
Right.
So anyway, but I did want to share this, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but I do think it's valuable information. It's something that listeners can go and you can Google it. You can get on Pinterest and Google up this phrase. But if you look up attachment styles, I think this fear of rejection is often rooted in maybe some attachment wounds from your childhood on up. And this is just one possible area of root of rejection. But right. I just want your listeners to know this exists. So if this piques your interest, you go take your time and look it up. But they say there's four different main attachment styles. And the first one is secure attachment. And it's when the people in your life, parents, caretakers, they were consistent in your life. They right. provided a sense of safety. Emotional connection was there and it was healthy. You weren't constantly having to question who they were going to be from one day to the next, or were they even going to be there? So you grew up with a very secure form of attachment, and it is easy for you to continue to make healthy attachments in your life. And there's not this constant underlying fear that, oh, they're going to leave, or right. oh, they're going to reject me. A lot of us don't have that secure form of attachment. And let me just go and pause and say, these are not life sentences. This points to where you came from, but it does not point to where you're going, because he Amen. Who is in Christ is a new creation and God heals all things. If it can take damage, it can take healing.
Yes. Praise God.
Even down to the way that you respond and connect and attach to people. But there's another form called the anxious attachment style. And here's some signs of that. There's a strong fear of abandonment. There's a constant need for reassurance, obsessive worry and anxiety. You frequently feel insecure. There's this inability to trust your partner. You tend to be a little bit more possessive, impulsive, extreme, overly sensitive to your partner's moods.
Yeah.
If those things sound familiar to you, it could be rooted in the fact that the people around you were in and out of your life a whole lot.
Right.
There wasn't a lot of stability and consistency in your life. And so you take that to your Heavenly Father and you say, okay, now we know this. Now help me with this.
Yes.
The other style is called the avoidance style, and it's very dismissive. You're uncomfortable with emotional intimacy. And it goes back to still your family of origin and people around you just didn't provide that secure environment that you needed. You seek reasons why the relationship will not work. You go ahead and think of all the reasons that, oh, this is not going to work. And so you slowly start disconnecting. And it's really a form of self-protection.
Right.
Before I get too involved, I'm just not going to get involved.
So that I'm just going to put up those walls.
Yep. Because right. they're probably going to leave anyway.
Correct.
I probably yeah. can't count on them anyway. And it'll hurt less if I never connect.
Right.
But what happens then is you build this wall that you think you're safe behind, but you're slowly dying behind the wall.
That is so true.
Because you were created for connection.
We all were. We were all created for community.
We are.
To do life together.
Yes. And so that you will not thrive alone.
That is so true.
You will not. So withdrawing, you consider relationships as a loss of independence. You fear closeness. You might even struggle with lacking empathy and fearing intimacy, avoiding commitment, avoid discussing your feelings. You kind of prefer to be alone.
Right. Which is where the enemy wants you to be.
Oh, isolation.
If he can isolate you, that is where we just draw into ourselves. The enemy tries to put us in a corner.
Absolutely.
To where we sit here and go, oh, well, I don't need anybody else. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of makes me think of, you know, if you watch the Discovery Channel or any of those nature shows, how the lion who is watching the herd of gazelle or herd of whatever animals are out there in the African plains, you know, he waits for one to be isolated. He waits for a weaker one, a younger one, or one not paying attention to the yes. fact that the herd has moved on, to kind of isolate itself and hang in towards the back. And that's the one that the lion
attacks.
Yes.
That's exactly what I was trying to explain. Yes. That's what the Wild enemy Kingdom. Tries to do.
And he does it. And so it's funny, but the very thing that we think is going to protect us is the thing that will end up being our demise.
Exactly. Yeah. The one thing that kills us.
Yes.
Yes. I'm reminded of the scripture, John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Yes.
But Jesus comes to give us life more abundantly.
And when, not to get ahead of myself, but when you are rooted in Christ, the kind of people he brings around you are not going to be those that you have to be afraid of.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that everything's always going to be perfectly smooth because they're humans, but they're going to be safe people that you can go to and talk to and say, hey, I don't know if you realized it, but you said something and it really hurt my feelings. And I'm not saying you meant to say it in a hurtful right. way. And you can talk that out, and it gives opportunity for them to say, oh, this is actually what I meant, or I didn't know you would take it that way. Thank you for trusting me enough to come share that with me.
Absolutely.
That shows their safety there.
Right.
And then the last form is the fearful attachment style. It is very disorganized. It's characterized by people who have low self-esteem, and they form a dependent relationship. They display high levels of distress within those relationships. They have very unpredictable behaviors. They exhibit strong fear of getting hurt. They're very dramatic and overly emotional in their responses to conflict.
Yeah.
And they have difficulty trusting others. During an argument, they just shut down and retreat. And relationships tend to break down for kind of no reason.
Right.
And it's because they do relationships from a place of fear.
Right.
So can we see where this fear of rejection comes in and kind of three different sneaky ways, but it's rooted in hurts and pain from your past. And the whole reason I even bring this up, it's important that you widen your perspective of what you're experiencing right now in your life to not just be what is wrong right now, but widen your perspective and say, maybe that's why there's a pattern here. And then you can bring that to the Lord and let Him do that deeper work in you.
Right.
Because the fix for that is being anchored in the fact that your God is that steady, secure attachment.
Yes, He is.
Who is not unpredictable. He's not mad at you one day with a lightning bolt and then says, come here, my child, the next. He's not Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Yes.
He is constant. He is love. If you want to know the character of God, just look in Galatians at the fruit of the Spirit. So if the fruit of God's Spirit living in you produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, wouldn't it make sense that that's also the fruit that God Himself is?
Absolutely.
Because He is His Spirit. Like, so that is who He is. And that's just like, you know, if you and I were to hang out all the time, which I would love.
Yes.
We would start picking up each other's phrases, mannerisms, because we've been hanging out so much.
Right.
So when we hang out with God a lot,
we start picking up His mannerisms.
So His mannerisms, it's that secure, He loves you. He's happy when He sees you. He's faithful to you. He's patient with you.
Yes.
He doesn't keep record of a suffered wrong.
Right.
So when we have a wrong view of God, and sometimes we project our experience with earthly parents onto our Heavenly Father.
Exactly.
Don't let anybody tell you who your God is other than the Word.
Absolutely.
You can count on Him.
You can. You can. I'm always encouraged when I go to study the Word now. Of course, always take the Word and apply it to your life.
Yeah.
But a new thing that I have been doing is studying the Word of God differently. Mm. So when I go to the Word and I look at the Scripture, I ask myself, Father, what does this say about you?
Oh, I love that.
Yes.
I'm going to start doing that. So good.
Yes. You start trying to find God's character. Okay, I'll give you an example. Let's study the Israelites for a minute. Okay, so I go to Exodus and I start reading about the Israelites and how they were removed from slavery. When I study the Israelites, mm-hmm. what does it say about God?
Mm.
What does it say about you, Heavenly Father? What,
what is
your character in this moment right now? And so when I study the Israelites, I see that God is loving. He is a God of second chances, a God that leads and guides and never gives up on you.
A God who provides even in the wilderness places.
Yes. Even in the wilderness, God is a God who provides.
Yes.
And that's how I've been studying the Word of God here lately is, what does this say about who you are?
Yeah.
It's so good.
You know, I would encourage people if either of these four attachment styles kind of sound familiar and they felt themselves going, oh my gosh, that's me, you know?
Right.
To take that and go to the Word and specifically look for places where it talks about God being what you need. If you are that fearful type that struggles to make connection because you think that person's just going to leave eventually anyway and hurt you, I would encourage you, because you guys, this was me. I realized in my own self that this was my style. And sometimes letting my guard down with people, and this might be surprising for people to know, but I've come a long way and I still have a way I'm going to keep going. But to know that God's not going to leave me. But in Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, be strong and courageous and firm. fear not, nor be in terror before them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. That was in the Amplified Classic. I know there's another translation that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I think that's interesting. Those are two different things there.
Yes.
To leave means, you know, to change location, right, to physically part. But to forsake someone means just to give up on them, to think badly of them, to turn away.
Right.
You can do that even if you're still in the same space with somebody.
Right. Yeah.
But God here is saying, take courage. That's not my character.
Right.
That may have been the character of people in your past that should have stayed and stuck, and they didn't.
Right.
But I do.
Always.
Always and forever. So then he starts healing your attachment wounds because he starts giving you a new experience.
Yes.
And then he starts bringing people around you that are not who those other people were.
Absolutely.
He starts bringing other people around you that stick and stay and who are consistent. And then you're able to let that guard down where you're not just running from people all the time. And you're also not trying to run towards people and smother them overly attached because you're so afraid they're going to bail out.
Right.
You're able to be strong and rooted and constant in the fact that you are so incredibly loved by your Heavenly Father. Come or go, leave or stay. If I'm the only one left standing, I have all I need because if God be for me, who can be against me?
Absolutely. He's still there. So if everyone else leaves, he's That's their still loss. There. Absolutely.
They're lost.
It is. Yes. Yes.
And so that totally shifts your paradigm on rejection because those people are no longer your source. If they can't give anything to you, they can't take it away.
That's right.
Now, God does put us in community. People do give unto us, and it's a reciprocal relationship. But in the core of who you are, the core of who you are is not moved.
That's right.
Based on what others do or don't do.
That is so true.
So you're going to answer the lie with truth from the Word of God instead of saying you're not lovable. Look and see what the Word says. The second thing, I took a long time on that first one. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
The second thing is sometimes it's because we're looking for others to feel what only Jesus can. It's a out of balance dependency on the people around us.
Yes. Yes. Here's the thing. When God created us, mm-hmm. He created us to want Him and,
yes.
and Him to want us.
Yes.
And so we have a tendency sometimes to go to people to fill that void, to go to drugs, go to alcohol, go to men, go to all of these different things.
Even our kids sometimes.
Even our kids, yeah. Yes. And our husbands.
Yes.
We use all of these things.
Even service in church.
Yes. Ah! Let's bring, yes. Yes. We take those things and we make it our identity.
Yep.
Instead of taking the Word of God
yep.
and saying, this is who I am.
We make it an idol.
We do. We really do.
Because an idol is anything that's in its improper place.
Absolutely.
You could really make an idol out of anything if it's just, if you're looking to that for your fulfillment in your answer.
Yes.
Absolutely. And not God. So we're looking to others to fill what only Jesus can. And the fix for that, God's been teaching me a lot about what He's been explaining to me as inside out living.
Huh.
Instead of living for a place, get an image in your mind of you using your hands to reach for things to then fill a hole on the inside of your heart. Like you've got all these holes and outside of you are all these puzzle pieces. You reach for this piece and you're like, oh, does that fit the hole? Nope, that doesn't quite fit. You reach for all the things we just listed. That's trying to pull things from the outside to fulfill the inside.
Yeah.
But inside out living is where you connect your spirit to God, and you look to Him to be your source of all things. Sometimes I look at the Lord as almost like a giant pantry, and not in a sense of using Him. He's my supply.
Yes.
I'm going to go good. To Him first. And so if I'm lonely, if I'm feeling rejected, if I'm feeling lost, I'm a very visual person. And so I imagine myself literally going to God's pantry, opening the door and saying, oh, there's love in here. I'll take that.
Yes.
Oh, there's security here. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's mine too.
Yes.
He is my all in all. And see, since He's my Father, I'm welcome to walk in His kitchen, open up the fridge or the pantry, and everything in there is mine. I don't have to ask for permission to eat the food.
Yes, we were given that
yes.
when we came to Christ.
I know there's scripture that talks about how He's given us all things richly to enjoy.
Yes.
I mean, we're in covenant with Him. So
we are.
Covenant means He gave all of Him
to us
in exchange for all of us.
Yes.
And when you're in covenant with someone, like within a marriage, it's no longer yours and mine, it's ours.
Yes.
So God chose to be in covenant with us.
Absolutely.
You know, it reminds me of the Hebrew word hesed, which the closest word we have to that in the New Testament is agape. And people might be a little bit more familiar with the agape love of God,
yes.
That never ending, not giving up kind of love. But in the Old Testament, it's God's covenant love, and it's hesed. And it's a picture of God's obligatory love toward you. And at first you're like, obligatory, like it's obligated. No, not like that. Not like you're obligated to go to a birthday party you really don't want to go to. It's God has chosen to vow himself to you, to obligate himself to you in a covenant relationship, to say, no matter what, my love is unfailing towards them. That same word is translated several different ways in the Old Testament. Sometimes it's translated loving kindness. Sometimes it's translated mercy, goodness. It's hesed every
yes.
time. It's the love that chases you down.
And he never stops chasing us. And
never
stops.
And there's no limit.
Yes.
He doesn't say, oh, you've reached your quota. We reached right. your limit. So inside out living is knowing that I'm connected to the limitless supply of who God is, and my identity comes from him. And I'm no longer reaching for external things.
Right. I'm going into that pantry.
Yes.
And I am grabbing what God has already placed for me.
And what he has said, I have set a table before you. Come
yes.
and eat.
Yes.
Because you're secure in your identity. I know he's my dad. I'm welcome here.
Right.
I'm not trespassing.
Yes.
He's the one that invited me over.
And he doesn't ever make us feel rejected.
No.
And I love that about our Heavenly Father. Just I love the way that he loves us. It's amazing.
I love the way he loves us. I love the way you put that. Oh, he loves so, so well. The third area that the Lord was talking to me about is maybe the people you're feeling rejected by, maybe they're not your people.
Ooh, amen.
I think sometimes we try to find a place where we weren't designed to be. I was talking with one of my daughters about this recently. You know, middle school is kind of a challenging space.
It's tough.
Oh,
yes.
I wouldn't go back for a million. Well, maybe a million. I don't know. No, probably not. Throughout the years where she felt unwelcomed in spaces, unwelcomed yeah. at certain tables. And then even when she was allowed to be around, it was evident that she wasn't really wanted in the space. And we were discussing how God's love was so evident. He was protecting her.
Absolutely. He's saying, I've set you apart.
This yes.
This is not your table.
Yeah, this is not your table. So find your table. Actually,
yes.
you know what? It's not even up to you to find your table. It's up to you just to walk with the Lord. And he prepares the table for you.
For you. Yes.
In my life right now, it's been interesting if I would visually like imagine my table. The people that the Lord has set around me. If I were to have had to been the one to make out the invite list.
Yeah.
Okay. These are the people I'm going to surround myself with, and I'm going to force this to happen, and I'm going to design my support network and all this stuff. I would have done such a poor job compared to what God was able to do, because he knows the right people. He knows the uniqueness of you and who he needs to add around you to shore you up. He knows who needs you.
Yes.
He makes those God connections. He pulled people in from other states that I did not even know.
Yes.
That he created supernatural connections based on what he needed imparted to me and what I had to bring to them. He's so good. It's not even on us to make our table. Just walk with the Lord.
Absolutely. Let him open up those doors.
Yes.
Don't try to force a door in your life. Let God open that door for you. Let him be the one that leads and guides you. Let him be that lamp.
Yes.
That lights your feet.
And something else I've learned is that we tend to attract people that are at a similar level of health as we are at.
Yes.
Our mental health, our emotional health, relational health, spiritual health. Here's an example, just real practical. If you are someone who is not good at boundaries at all, and you just say yes to everything and everybody runs over you and they know that they can sign you up to do everything, you're a very over-responsible person.
Right.
And it's because you don't have really good boundaries. Well, you are going to attract other people who also don't have really good boundaries. Probably you're going to attract the ones that let everyone else run and do everything in their life. They are very underdeveloped, underfunctioning,
yes.
because they aren't taking charge of what should be within their boundaries. So you're both kind of at a similar level of health, just in opposite directions. And it's like your puzzle piece clicks with their puzzle piece.
Absolutely.
And so as you seek the Lord, grow in your identity in Him, which really that phrase, sometimes the church world throws that around. That's really just getting a deep understanding of how God sees you.
Absolutely.
And choosing to see yourself that way too. And when you choose to see yourself that way, you start growing that way. And you start acting that way.
And you start talking that way.
You do.
You start talking differently when you know who you are in
Christ.
There's
been an identity shift.
Yes. Yes.
Who you are because He's called you that.
Right.
And that's going to cause you to grow in all areas of your life. Because even though that's happening in your spirit, man, you know, we're a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Yeah. And we live in a body. As your spirit man grows, it's going to talk to your soul man, be like, emotions, here's a better place of health for you. Forgive that person. Let go of that bitterness. Say no to that jealousy. Find your worth in Him. All of those things, it's affecting your soul now.
Yes.
So you're going to start feeling different. You're going to start thinking different. All of you is going to grow. Now you're not going to be attractive to people that are choosing to say I'm healthy.
Right.
And you're going to start attracting people that are on that same path of health that you're on. So letting the Lord surround you with the people that He has
at your
for
table.
You.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And then the last reason that He was talking to me about is sometimes He calls us into a season of solitude. And I think it's important to make the distinction that solitude and isolation are not the same thing. We were talking about how the enemy works in spaces of isolation. Isolation, yes, is when we're running from something. It's self-protection. We're running into a corner to retreat from the things that are hurting us. Solitude is when we are drawing to something. So we're going towards something. We're not just moving away from something else.
That makes sense.
So we're running toward the Lord. And I've been in a season in my life, really this last year, last 18 months, of the Lord calling me to a place of solitude where I had to intentionally quiet some things around me. And probably from the outside, it might appear that I had pulled back,
right,
from involvement in certain areas. I didn't attend every little thing that was going on. So it might look like I had gotten still, but actually it was still a very active place. But it was a posture of my heart that was very active and aware and engaged with my Heavenly Father and some things He was doing through me and in me and for me and healing a lot of areas. And so it was very deep work. But on the outside, I wasn't busy attending all the functions and all the events and being at all the social stuff.
Right.
I was in a place of solitude. And I can feel that He's slowly letting me know that there's been another season shift and I'm getting to come out of that place a little bit. But at the same time, still maintain the connection.
Now everything that He's been teaching you for the last 18 months,
yeah,
He's ready, yeah, for you to start pouring that into other women who are,
yes,
struggling in that same area, possibly.
And I think we're afraid of solitude sometimes.
Right.
And especially if we've not grown in understanding who we are, we're addicted to busy.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't stop and listen to the fact that God's calling us away.
Sometimes Satan himself likes to get us so busy,
yeah,
that we get our eyes off of the Lord to the point where we can literally not hear God's voice anymore,
yep,
because we are so busy. Even sometimes serving in our church, we have to be careful about serving so much in our church that we
That's
get
a big one.
Yes, it really, yeah, is that we get so busy that we can no longer hear the voice of God. His voice is just kind of faint at that point.
Yeah.
And so sometimes God calls us to solitude,
yeah,
not only to refuel us, but to also get to the point where we're quiet. And I think it's so important to get comfortable in the quiet. We're,
yes,
not going to hear God's word and hear His voice until we are quiet, until we can get to that place of solitude. So solitude,
yeah,
is not a bad place.
It's not punishment.
It's not.
It's an invitation.
It is.
And an invitation is always connected to a good place.
To dine with the Heavenly,
yes,
Father. That's what's so good about
accept
the place of
the
solitude.
Invite.
Yes.
And for me, it's been a place of recalibration.
Mm-hmm.
We have a printer, a small printer at my house. And periodically, like if I change the ink cartridge out, it'll make me push a certain button to recalibrate.
Yes.
And it's to make sure my printer is going to print things in line.
Yes.
And things aren't going to be wonky on the page since I've put in new ink. And it's just, it prints off a fresh sheet. It knows what it's doing. To recalibrate, make sure that things don't come out crooked.
It's lined up.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So time pulled away with the Father is so necessary for recalibration. It's not punishment. It's not rejection. Sometimes He's pulled you away And I don't have this in my notes, but it was just in my heart. There have been times in my life where I have been in spaces where I didn't quite feel like I was connected.
Yes.
Like being in a room of strangers who knew my name, but I wasn't really finding a lot of connection there.
Right.
So instead of feeling rejection, I've realized just in hindsight that it's because those were seasonal places.
Mm-hmm.
And God was saying, nope, you're just passing through here. And so don't put down roots. Don't unpack your luggage. This is just a spot.
Right.
And glean from where you can glean, but you're still moving.
Yes.
And then there's been other times where he's like, oh no, put down roots here. So
this is a safe place.
Yes.
Yes.
So keep in your heart that inside out living, that the next time you feel rejected, to stop and first say, okay, are these just fears in my own head? Maybe nobody's really rejecting me, but maybe my whole life I've just grown up feeling like people were so unpredictable or unstable or love was not secure. So I'm constantly looking for evidence to continue to prove that right in my life.
Right.
And I can't even see when people are being stable and secure for me because I'm just so afraid that they eventually won't be.
Right.
And then go to the Word and let God heal those attachment wounds by studying His character in those spaces.
Absolutely.
And then evaluate and ask yourself, are you trying to get something from people that's only meant to be received from the Lord? And think about that inside out living, that you're not living for a place. You're living from a place.
That's good.
And humans are not your supply.
That is so true.
And then maybe ask yourself, are these really my people? And that's not a bad thing. They could be amazing people, but they're just not the ones at your table.
Right. They're not going to help you grow and take you where God is leading and guiding you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes people aren't just mean. Sometimes they do reject. Sometimes they are exclusive instead of inclusive. And your human emotions, it's okay to acknowledge that that stings.
Yes.
That hurts. But bring that to your Heavenly Father and know that that's not the final say.
Absolutely.
On your worth.
Absolutely.
That's more of a reflection of what's happening in them.
That is so true.
Not a reflection on you. It kind of makes me think about, you know, the stories you hear in the news of someone purchasing a priceless artifact at a thrift store.
Right.
Someone had donated it, not knowing it was an original art piece, you know. And so the location of it being a thrift store, you know, made people, probably a lot of people, just pass it by.
Yes.
And it took the person that could see value to go, oh, wow, look what I just found. You know, not everyone around you has eyes to see you.
Wow.
And just let them walk on by.
That's really great advice. Don't stay there. Just let them walk on by.
Yeah.
And you keep shining.
That doesn't make your intrinsic value change.
Right.
That original Rembrandt or whatever it is that's found at the thrift store is still an original Rembrandt. It's still worth, you know, it's so priceless.
Yes.
Even if the people around it are so ignorant that they don't, well, I wouldn't recognize a Rembrandt, honestly. Like, you know, but you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So their inability to see you does not determine your worth. And then that last one, don't be afraid of solitude. That season doesn't last forever. And that's a little sad, actually, because, gosh, I love these seasons. I'm learning to love these seasons when God pulls me away. But just ride with Him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the last thing that I want to say and encourage everyone today is be anchored in God's truth.
Amen.
When you're anchored in His truth, you will find that you're lacking nothing.
Nothing.
God fills all things in your life where you feel that you are lacking.
Mm-hmm.
Let Him fill those places of emptiness that you have.
Yeah.
Because you get everything that you need from your Heavenly Father.
Yeah. And I think you and I both have lived lives where there were places of true lack, places of real brokenness.
Right.
So we're not just saying, oh, you're enough just how you are. And, you know, you're perfect. And we're not saying all that. We're saying like, yeah, there's stinky stuff that happens. There's wounds that you live from. You live from these wounded places. And maybe there are some things that God's wanting to teach you and heal in you and repair in you. And well, I know there are because He loves you. And He loves us so much. He doesn't leave us where we're at.
Absolutely.
But He repairs us with tender hands. From a place of love and not from a, why are you so broken? But Right. Here, let me take that. Let me, you know. So
in our brokenness,
yeah,
he adds this beauty. And through all of that, we come out so much stronger.
So much
just joy. God gives us a renewed joy.
Yeah. Just thank you, Elizabeth.
You are so welcome.
This opportunity and for just being always such an authentic person. I know when I first met you 13 years ago, we were nursing babies.
Yes.
And we were a part of a local support group for nursing mothers. And there was an instant connection. And I think it was because of your authenticity. I'm drawn to real because there's a lot of fake out there.
Yes.
And you've just always been the real deal. And you've always been someone, too, that I admired because no matter what storms were going on in your life, like, I feel like if there was just a picture of, hey, where's Elizabeth? Well, you're going to find her at the feet of Jesus. So that's go look there. You know, that's where you've chosen to stay and live your life. And that is why you are walking in the freedom you're walking in now and why you are delivering this message of freedom to other people.
Yes.
So
he's walked me through
yeah.
a lot of battles, but he's always been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I can rely on him no matter what.
No matter what.
Yeah. So thank you so much for being here today. You are precious.
You're welcome. This has been so fun. We'll have to do it again.
Yes, we will. Thank you again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me this week on the Laura Mayer Podcast. Join me here next week and every week where we will continue learning that being His means being free.